Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in. Thursday edition of the Hoosier Report. Matt Dennison with you. Lee Kelly is in studio as always on Thursdays to join me. And it's been a fun week. Jordan Geronimo joins the fold for Indiana basketball. Big recruit coming in earlier this week, or I should say making his decision official earlier this week. And, of course, college football is underway. IU football underway last weekend. The Hoosiers have a game that they need to not only win, but win in convincing fashion this week. We're going to talk about that some today. And we are getting closer to the start of college basketball, Lee, because yesterday not only do we have IU's schedule, but they even announced their exhibition opener for fans. That's an open scrimmage, obviously. So we just about know everything that we're going to know on the IU team for the upcoming season until they actually hit the floor, until Hoosier Hysteria gives us a little glimpse of the team on the court at Assembly Hall. But we're in a good time of year. I'm excited about high school football this week. New Albany and Jeffersonville is always fun. And I just have a great feeling about this time of year in sports. So it's glad to have you with me on Thursdays to go through some of this.
Yeah, it's an exciting time, and some good things are happening, and some things that we got back from Evansville Friday night, and I was on the way home and just happened to have the station on and picked up the Purdue football broadcast. And stayed in the car outside. I'm sure my wife thought I was nuts because it's like 1:15 in the morning. But listened to the end of the Purdue game. Wow, what a strange finish to that game. When I first got in the car, they had a nice lead. I thought, this is over. And they were completing some passes to Rondale Moore, and everything was good. And then, boy, the bottom just fell out. So
same thing. We had our football coverage. We talked with you from down in Evansville where you were at Friday night. And said, hey, our coverage is wrapping up. The scoreboard show is over with for the night. Here's Purdue football joining the game in progress. And I think it was someplace in the first half, later in the first half. And so on the way home, I listened to the game. I thought, boy, Purdue sounds like they're going to pull away here, and they're playing well. And Rondale's name was being called fairly often. And I went home, had an early morning the next day, and was out. Got up checking scores and reading some stories from the night before, and said, you know, wait a second, and my eyes still blurry here? What's going on? And to see that Purdue had lost that game. So crazy stuff. And, of course, Indiana the next day. Lee, I'm curious your thoughts. They obviously got a victory. Michael Penix, I think, is an exciting player that we can now understand why he was able to win the starting quarterback position. He's got loads of potential, clearly, and brings a bounce or an energy maybe to that quarterback spot that I haven't seen in a while at Indiana. That said, there are some areas of concern. So even though Eastern Illinois, a game Indiana should win, not only win, but needs to win handily, I'm a little more interested in that game than I might have been if Indiana had cruised past Ball State, because this is really their last tune-up to figure out some things on the defensive end, for Penix to get a little bit more comfortable in the pocket and go from there. But interesting. I think this weekend, I don't for a second think Indiana won't win. It's what kind of victory is it going to be, and what kind of momentum can they build going into Ohio State the next weekend? Yeah, you talk about a great start to the Big Ten Conference. Ohio State, obviously, you're going against one of the top dogs right there.
Yeah, and I was disappointed as I watched the game, but then I thought, you know, I really don't know how good Ball State is. Maybe they're a lot better than I'm giving them credit for. So maybe the IU defense really wasn't as bad as I thought they were at times. Maybe Ball State was just that good. I thought the IU running game was not what I expected, and I based that on last year's output at that position. So, but we'll see as the season goes along. They got a victory. That's the important thing. They got a first-time starting quarterback, a victory in his first time out. That's a good thing. More confidence for that young man. So, you know, I'm looking forward to the rest of the season.
Absolutely. Let's take a look at the guest lineup for this Thursday program, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we'll have some Hoosier headlines, which are now presented by Zaxby's. Of course, they're a favorite of ours here on the Big X, a sponsor of a lot of high school coverage and special shows that you and I, Lee, have been part of out at Zaxby's and their numerous locations in Southern Indiana and Louisville as well. So we welcome them to the program as the sponsor each day of the Hoosier Headlines. In the headlines today, we're going to talk about IU's scrimmage. We know the closed exhibition game is going to be against Marquette University. We don't know the location of that game, but we do know that Indiana is going to have one scrimmage at home before the regular season begins, and the scrimmage will take place in late October, Lee, which means as we sit here on September 5th, we are like a month and 3.5 weeks, a month and 3 weeks away from at least some official game action. Well, not really official game action, but a true game on the court at Assembly Hall. So getting closer, we'll tell you about that if you haven't heard. Also, I don't know why I do this to myself and to fans every year, but I always pay attention to the preview magazines and where they place Indiana. We've already went through a couple power rankings and things that have been released by different college basketball analysts, and the latest is Lindy's. They have Indiana pegged in the Big Ten Conference, and we'll tell you where it's at. I'm not sure that Indiana fans will be happy with their prediction, and some new national rankings out as far as the 2020 class goes from Rivals. Then the new Rivals 150 rankings, and all three commits to date are in the top 150. We'll tell you where they're at coming up here in just a second, presented by Zaxby's. Also, later in the program, Alex Bozich is always with Lee and I on Thursdays. We'll talk lots of IU basketball as IU gears up for the season. We saw the team back on campus officially over the last couple weeks. They've been doing some fitness testing, some workouts heading into the season, so that'll come up, I'm sure, with Alex when he joins us. And then later in the program, Matt Weaver of Pigs.com, the IU football writer, all over IU football, the best you can find to talk IU football, and he's going to join us later in the program as Lee and I preview IU and their matchup this weekend in week two of college football. And we'll hit some high school stuff later, a little chatter about New Albany, Jeff, and some of the other high school football games on the docket for week three of our football coverage, which begins at 6 o'clock here on the Big X Sports Radio on Friday. That's a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget you can mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll receive $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. All right, let's time to look at our Hoosier headlines presented by Zaxby's. A couple things to bring up today. On October 29th, 7 o'clock, that's a Tuesday, at Assembly Hall, Indiana will get it underway as far as games go. This is a scrimmage game, and they are going to take on Gannon, a Division II program that is in the Pennsylvania State Athletic Conference and located in Erie, Pennsylvania. I don't know if maybe if that's a connection somehow to the Miller family, who is from, obviously, the Pennsylvania and Pittsburgh area, and maybe a connection, maybe not. But Gannon, a Division II school, the opponent, Indiana 26-0 against non-Division I teams in exhibition play since the 2004-05 season, according to the IU media release yesterday. Of course, Indiana technically with two exhibitions. One's going to be against Marquette. It's a closed scrimmage, so we won't really know a lot about that. Normally, you don't get box scores or stats. Lee, I'll say this. Any basketball is good at this time of year. You're ready for the season to get here, ready to see the Hoosiers on the court. It doesn't matter who they're going against. You just want to get a feel for the team, and exhibition games are a perfect way to start to see what you've got to work with. The one bummer when these announcements come out, the one bummer this year as opposed to other recent years, is I love when Indiana plays a Bellarmine, who now, of course, is transitioning to Division I. Love when Indiana scrimmages a USI. Love when they scrimmage, even some smaller schools than that, NAIA schools, maybe I think maybe Bethel. I can't remember. They've scrimmaged some others in the state. Love to see that. Awesome stuff. Hanover got the opportunity to do that. Isaac Hibbard up at Butler a few years ago. So, again, much rather it be a school with a local connection as opposed to Gannon from Erie, Pennsylvania. But it is what it is. It's the start of basketball, and we're getting closer.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And basketball is basketball. And like you, I don't know the connection. I don't know how Gannon was selected. But I think it's good when they do play the in-state smaller schools and give them a little bit of recognition. So agree with you wholeheartedly. But like you, basketball is basketball. And it's I wonder a little bit, not so much about the exhibitions, but a little about – with confidence factor, is if they come in and blow out those teams, is that a good thing? I mean, does it build up their confidence, or is it really not have much bearing on anything since it doesn't count toward the regular season record?
Yeah, I mean, obviously those are games you want to win and you want to really crush the opponent. Obviously, it's a game where the other team, their benefit is the experience to come to Assembly Hall and obviously the money that is involved in something like that. You could call that a money game, a lot like some of the non-conference games early in the year as well. Those are money games as well, where the team, the visiting team, is paid. Their expenses are often paid. They receive a check, essentially. We remember the Mike Davis, was it Texas Arlington, where was he at in Texas, where they played every game on the road in non-conference play to get monies to fund his program so they didn't have to stay in cheap hotels. They could afford to eat nice and travel like a normal Division I team that's well-funded. So, yeah, those are games that there's no way around it. Whether you're Archie Miller, whether you're a player, whether you're a fan, that's a game you don't just want to win. You want to win in a crushing measure to prove that you're well above the competition and heading into especially the regular portion of your schedule in a big way. The Marquette exhibition is, you know, a lot different. That is a very formidable team with some key players in college basketball, a little bit different of an opportunity there. And, of course, we won't, unfortunately, get to see that behind closed doors. But things drawing near, we know that when the exhibition game's announced, that's kind of one of the last things that comes out about the upcoming season. Also, the preview magazines that are still out there, that despite how everything is online and print, there still seem to be no shortage of finding preseason publications that are still in existence. I saw that Lindy's has released their Big Ten predicted finish. Indiana, out of the teams, is predicted to finish 10th in the Big Ten Conference. I'm not sure that I wouldn't place them a little higher than that, a couple spots, perhaps three spots maybe at the highest. But I think some people will be disappointed if Indiana continues to be projected around the 10 spot. And also, this is interesting, and again, this is one publication that's being done way too early for the college basketball season, but they predict six Big Ten teams to make the NCAA tournament. Indiana, not one of those six. Michigan State, Maryland, Ohio State, Purdue, Illinois, and Wisconsin. There's some interesting thoughts on Illinois and some of the other teams in the Big Ten Conference here in the preseason. But Indiana in Lindy's is 10th. They've been 10th, 9th, and maybe 8th in one other preseason sort of ranking. So we'll continue to keep an eye on it as some of the other publications come out. But Indiana at 10th, that's not really what you want to see heading into the season if you're an IU fan. Although there's hope, I think, that they can finish above that 10 spot, if not not a handful of spots above that spot.
Yeah, I think expectations were so high last year that there's a lot of reservations about this IU team. And it's the old joke, you know, the good news is everybody's back, the bad news is everybody's back kind of thing. They lost Romeo, and obviously it's just an unknown quantity as to where's the scoring going to come from, who's going to be the guy that stops the big man inside from all of these other teams. There's a lot of questions. I'm not sure I wouldn't rather have the expectations a little lower this year and give the team a chance to come out and play well as a unit and get things done.
Well said. Lee Kelly, Matt Dennison with you. Headlines presented by Zaxby's. Final headline of the day, the Rivals 150 out. For those of you that like the player rankings, Jordan Geronimo, the most recent commit to Indiana. He's a four-star in their five-star scale, so he's four or five stars and number 75 in the country. He is the highest rated out of the three 2020 commits that Indiana has in this class. Anthony Leal would be next. He also is a four-star and ranked 109th out of the 150 rankings. And Trey Galloway, a three-star, he is ranked 134th in the country in the new Rivals 150 that's out. Interesting with Jordan Geronimo, player rankings are player rankings, but to see a guy like him that has surged onto the scene, not only be ranked in the 150, but to be in the top 100, to have a four-star designation, and really to be as high as 75, it's amazing the growth and the change that he's experienced over the last year and even the last few months as his recruiting soared. And again, I know we've talked a lot about this and going to talk more with Alex coming up about Jordan Geronimo in the next segment. But he just is a player that, although I don't know a ton about his tendencies and you don't have a feel for him like you do Leal and Galloway that play right here in our state that we've seen play in high school basketball, and of course Galloway play in some state championship games, we don't have near the understanding of what Geronimo can do compared to those guys. But still, with that said, everybody I talked to, everything I've read, talking with Coach Gordon, his prep school coach last week before he committed, and then exchanging some text messages with him after the commitment earlier this week, the potential is unreal for this kid, and that's why I think there is so much excitement about his addition to the roster for next year, the 2020 year at Indiana.
Yeah, and I was glad, listening to your show this week, glad to see that Romeo was back on campus and talked to this young man and possibly a part of the recruiting process, and I think that's a good thing. Certainly would impress me if I were a young high school player coming in for a current Boston Celtic roster player to want to talk to me a little bit about what it was like last year. So, I want to ask Alex his thoughts on this and you as well. Is this a three-year player, a four-year player, a two-year player in your estimation? He just keeps getting better, so I'm not sure we know.
Yeah, you just answered it, I think. I think given the progress he's had in such a short time, right now you probably think of him as a three, four-year player, but who knows with the way that he's improving. And he just has some of the natural instincts and tendencies that you can't teach, the length, the athleticism and things like that that are going to make him continue, especially as he gets more into a regiment with workout and diet and all the things that we see Indiana working on. High tech, I mean, Division I basketball and their ability to change bodies and to change players in that way alone, not even with their skills on the court, it's just remarkable nowadays. And he just strikes me as someone that is naturally hitting that point, and I'm sure he's working out, and I'm sure they have a weight program at the prep school, but I can assure you it's nothing like what he's going to see the summer when he arrives at Indiana. So with that said, and with the little bit I've seen and the glimpses of what this kid has shown and how much better he's gotten, as quick as he's gotten, and the fact that he can play some defense too, which is a very welcomed addition, there's no telling. You know, it's hard, I would say it'd be hard to predict right now. And one other thing too, before we get out of here, the first segment, you know, you don't often hear players commit to high major schools and their coaches or someone brag about their defense. And I really made some points about this with Trey Galloway, because that was one of the things that he really prided himself on, was the defensive side of things, and that's just really unheard of. You hear about their points, you hear that they're a good shooter, you hear that they're a playmaker, you hear about their body, their length, their size, whatever it may be. Those are the things normally offensively that you hear about. The potential is overall as a player, you don't hear a lot about defense, but to hear as much as I've heard about Trey Galloway on the defensive side of the ball, and then to hear coaches describe Geronimo as an elite defender, that's something that if you really want to see Indiana basketball get back to fundamentals and have some success and win as a team, defense is obviously where it's at. And it's something that I think Indiana fans probably don't talk about, don't think about as much as they do the other things. But having two great defensive guys coming in for next year, and again, defense in high school, defense at the prep school Geronimo's at with the schedule they play, or Trey Galloway plays at Culver, good schedules, but nothing like what it will be in the Big Ten Conference. But still, that's a trait that's hard to get somebody really enthused about interesting to hear that Indiana has two commits in this 2020 class that both consider themselves defensive stoppers and elite defenders. So, yeah. Interesting.
And the young man has figured out, apparently, that if your offensive game isn't working, if you're a good defender, you're still going to stay on the floor at the high school level. We'll see if that translates to college as well. But if you're playing both ends of the court and playing hard and effectively, then you're going to have some minutes out there.
Absolutely. Those are the Hoosier headlines presented by Zaxby's. That'll wrap up the first segment on our Thursday program. Lee and I are going to head to a quick commercial break. We'll come back with Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. We'll talk IU basketball, the addition of Geronimo, and a lot more coming up after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And welcome back. Thursday edition of the program. Lee Kelly is with me in studio, and Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall. He joins us on the phone today to talk the latest in IU basketball. Alex, exhibition opponent announced. This season is going to be here before you know it. Lee and I chatting a little bit about Gannon, a Division II school from Erie, Pennsylvania, that's going to be the Hoosiers' opponent in the one public exhibition game, that is, that will be played at Assembly Hall. I'll be excited to watch the game. Glad the season's here. As you and I've talked many, many times before, much rather prefer when it's a Bellarmine or a USI or somebody that has a connection to the state somehow and gets a little opportunity to play in Assembly Hall and be showcased against the Hoosiers in a warm-up game.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know the backstory on this, but I'm assuming with Archie Miller's roots in Pennsylvania, there's some connection there that would have led to Gannon coming to Bloomington. But nonetheless, this is I agree with you that I'd much rather see someone with a closer regional tie. But this is what they're going to do, and more than anything else, I like the fact that they're going to do the closed scrimmage with Marquette. More than I would if they were just going to do two public exhibitions. I think that's one thing that wasn't always utilized every year under the previous coaching staff. It seems like Archie Miller now 2 years in a row is going to use it to his advantage. And you know, I just think you get more out of playing a higher level opponent if you can do so. I wish that they could actually do that and make it a public thing so people could watch it and we could get an idea for where both teams stand at that particular junction. But yeah, I mean, the exhibition game, those are typically, there's a lot of talk before those games, and we quickly forget about who they play. It's really our first chance to see them go up and down in a somewhat competitive environment, but I think Indiana usually wins those games quite comfortably, so I'm not sure what all we'll learn from Gannon, but good to see now that the full schedule in terms of opponents has been confirmed, and now we can just start to look forward to the season.
Have you heard much complaining from IU fans about Lindy's picking them 10th in the Big Ten and a projected record of 17-14 to this point?
Well, that just came out this morning, so I haven't heard too much. I'm sure I will here over the next couple days, but, those preseason magazines, I've been sharing that kind of a summary of those magazines every year, each fall, kind of in a slower time when there's not a whole lot going on, and they always seem to generate a lot of discussion and interest. And I like getting the magazines and reading them, just because kind of gives you an idea of what's going on around the country. You get feel for some rosters and just kind of get some baseline expectations for each team. But I wouldn't read too much into that, because the fact of the matter is Indiana wasn't a great team last year. I think they finished tied for eighth in the Big Ten, and most people that are going to look at this from a national perspective, which is what these magazines are doing, are going to say they lost Juwan Morgan, they lost Romeo Langford, and they weren't very good last year. So it's probably fair to say they're not going to be better this year, which I don't necessarily agree with, but that's, you know, they're previewing 350 whatever teams it is in these magazines, so they don't have time to kind of look at the big picture and some reasons why Indiana could potentially be better. But, you know, I think that's probably about where you're going to see Indiana picked in most of these preseason projections. I mean, there's a website that I like to go to, BartTorvik.com. It does similar to what Kim Pomeroy offers, but I think he's got Indiana projected right around the same spot. So it's up to the guys in that locker room and the coaching staff to outperform those expectations. But I don't think there's anything unfair about projecting Indiana at that spot, because we just don't know enough about how they're going to look in terms of the personnel and how it all fits together.
Yeah, I like also picking up the magazines and reading them in the weeks and months before the season opens. But I also like to go back after the season's over, because hindsight is always 20/20, as we know, and looking at the mistakes that they've made along the way. And I'm sure I did not do that last year, but I'm sure there were not a lot of people that praised the final four teams in all categories. So, but right. I understand, it generates interest. It gets people talking. I think it's a good thing, and I enjoy reading the magazines and the articles. And there's always a lot of names of players that I've never heard of. And and a lot of times those guys do have outstanding seasons. So, I like reading the magazines as well.
Yeah, I went back the other day because I'm getting ready to participate in the one of my friends, Brendan Quinn, who works for The Athletic, covers Michigan State, really one of the best in the business in terms of covering college basketball. But he puts together an unofficial he calls it the unofficial official Big Ten preseason media poll, because the Big Ten only doesn't really put out a preseason projected order of finish as voted on by the media. So he gets two people from each school that cover their respective teams to kind of give their projections on the upcoming season. And I think mine are due at the end of the month. I'm one of the two people that do it for from the Indiana perspective. And I went back and looked at what I did last year. I think I picked Indiana third in the Big Ten, and they ended up finished eighth. So my track record is not particularly good on these kind of things, so it's hard to kind of rip into Lindy's, or I think Athlon's going to be coming out here any day now, and Sporting News or Street and Smith, I don't know what it's called now, will be out any day as well. But it's tough, I think, with college basketball and the amount of guys that go pro, and it's so hard to know how good freshmen are going to be to kind of get a fair projection for every team. I mean, I think in the Big Ten, you can, if you asked around the league, people that cover the league that pay attention to it year-round. Now, there's some schools where I don't want to call anybody out, but there's some where people that covering the team are way more into football, and there's only a kind of a select, I think, few schools where the beat writers are really tuned in to basketball year-round. And I would say, if you asked around, most people are going to tell you the consensus top three in Michigan State and then Maryland and Ohio State, whatever order you want to put it in. After that, it's really wide open. So I wouldn't get too down on the fact that Indiana is being projected as low as they are, because I think there's a pretty good chance they could outperform that expectation.
Alex Bozich inside the hall joining Lee and I on this Thursday edition of the program. Jordan Geronimo, want to get your opinion on that. Obviously, there have been lots of positive comments since he committed to Indiana. And this has been a regular question of guests all week. Your thoughts on the commitment of Geronimo and the player that he could turn out to be at Indiana, and also the second part to that question, where does Indiana turn next in the 2020 class? It's clear that they're going to add more players, at least one, two, perhaps, players, or who knows, even more in that class. Matt Cross is off the board. I don't think anybody expected both him and Geronimo to come to Indiana. Your thoughts on Geronimo, and where does Indiana turn next as far as recruiting in this current senior class?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Geronimo commitment's a good one. He's really kind of come out of nowhere the last couple of months in terms of Indiana's interest. I know they watched him in the summer a lot and really kind of picked things up there. But I've got to watch a lot of film on him. I've never seen him in person. But, the thing that kind of stands out to me with him is upside. I mean, he's not a finished product coming into college, where, Matt Cross may have come in and you know, the first year or two produced at a higher level statistically, but I think long-term Geronimo is potentially a better player, and maybe not better right now in terms of ready to play from day one. But I think just from, you know, I didn't talk to him, but one of our student reporters had a really good Q&A that we posted last night, Dylan Wallace. Just listening to or reading some of the stuff that he had to say in that interview, you know, it seems like he picked Indiana for all the right reasons. He came on his visit and really kind of fell in love with the basketball culture of the state, wants to be at a place where basketball is important, where people live it, breathe it, and he's very confident in his game. It's not an arrogance or a cockiness. It's just, hey, this is kind of what I'm about when I'm on the court, and this is what I'm going to try to do. And I think that is like a type of player that in many ways Indiana's, you know, doesn't have enough of. I mean, you got to have guys that are willing to go out there with a little nastiness in their game, and guys who want to dominate other people. And that's, you know, you read some of his quotes talking about dunking on people and things like that. I mean, I just think that's the kind of player that you can't have enough of. In terms of where they turn next, you know, the list is shrinking. You mentioned that Cross is off the board. It doesn't seem like to me that Indiana is going to get much traction or get a visit with R.J. Davis, the guard out of New York. It just doesn't seem like that's going to happen. Zach Loveday, another big guy, that's another one that just kind of seems like, for whatever reason, Indiana's backed off. You know, it seems like they're putting all their efforts in the front court towards Dawson Garcia, the big guy from Minnesota who plays for D1 Minnesota on the Adidas circuit, which is the program that produced Race Thompson. So Tom Ostrom's been very good recruiting that area. So we'll see if they can get him on campus for a visit. I think that'd be a huge step in trying to make a move there. And then in terms of guards, you know, obviously Caleb Love's going to be in for his official visit, not this weekend, but the next weekend. Indiana's in quite a battle there for him. But they are going to get a visit. At least that's what's scheduled. And he's the name to watch. Beyond that, you know, we'll just see kind of what else happens. Hassan Diarra is another guy that they've been mentioned with. They've offered. He hasn't set a visit, but we'll see how things go there. So, you know, I think they've got a really solid baseline here with these three guys, and now they can kind of just kind of take a couple swings for the fences with Garcia, Love, and to kind of see what else shakes loose. Maybe somebody opens things up or somebody comes available in the spring. But, you know, I think it's a pretty good bet that they're going to end up with four, maybe five guys in this class.
Yeah, I would love to sit in on when they're talking to these recruits about actually what they say. They've fallen on hard times as far as making the NCAA tournament. They didn't hit expectations last year. I know they talk a lot probably about the historical part of Indiana University basketball and the state of Indiana and the fan support and so on. Is that where you think the majority of the conversation would head as to what we've done in the past, not what we've done most recently?
Yeah, I don't know how much they talk about. I mean, I'm sure if they're asked about a specific player or parent kind of what the plan is to get the program back on track, I mean, they're going to say that they would. And I don't know that, you know, exactly what the talking points would be, but if it were me doing the talking, I would kind of just talk about, hey, you know, this is a process. We inherited a situation that, you know, quite frankly, we didn't have necessarily all the right pieces to execute what we want to do, but slowly but surely we're trying to bring those guys in, and you're kind of what we, you know, your son is, you know, whatever kind of what we see as the next piece to kind of get into where we want to go. And I think more than anything else, the culture and the fan base kind of sells itself. I mean, if you take a kid around to visit on a visit around Bloomington this time of year, I mean, people even at the football games are looking for the basketball recruits in the stands. But, you know, they know that's kind of the main thing in Bloomington. So those kids, even if they go to an IU football game, they're in many ways the main attraction. People are looking to see where the current players are, who they're sitting with, if the coaches are with them. So I think that kind of the whole idea of how important basketball is in Indiana kind of sells itself to these kids when they come on the visit. I mean, Geronimo said in the Q&A that we did with them, basically that he went around Bloomington with the coaching staff and people knew who he was. I mean, that, how many other places that he's gone on a visit do you think that's the case? I would say probably not very many. But, you know, I think it's probably still a pretty easy sell because they're so early in their tenure. You know, they're only going into season three. I think the problem is going to come down the line if they don't get over that hump when they've had 4 or 5 years and they don't have things rolling. That's kind of when you hit the roadblock. But right now it's still pretty fresh and so early in their tenure. So I think they have reasons to be optimistic about where things are going to head and kind of just look down the list of the guys that they've landed. They've landed a lot of really good in-state players, and hopefully, you know, this season's a step forward. And I think really – next season coming up, not this one, but the following season is probably when you're going to see a pretty significant jump forward if it's going to happen with this coaching staff.
Alex Bozich inside the hall. Alex, as always, with Lee and I on Thursdays, IU basketball year-round. And, Alex, we are getting closer to the season. Thanks for the chat today. Look forward to next Thursday.
Yep. Have a good day, guys.
Alex Bozich inside the hall. You can find out more. He's had some coverage of Geronimo's commitment and a lot more, including an interview, a podcast on the Brink with the Michigan State beat writer, or Michigan beat writer, Brendan Quinn, and a good preview of the Wolverines for the upcoming season. As you start to think maybe about the upcoming Big Ten season, you can check that out on Alex's website at InsideTheHall.com. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Matt Weaver of Pigs.com. We'll talk IU football today. The Hoosiers gearing up for their Week 2 opponent on Saturday. We'll do that and more to wrap things up for this Thursday show after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this and for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Final segment on this Thursday program. Lee Kelly is with me in studio, and Matt Weaver of Pigs.com joins us to talk IU football as the Hoosiers gear up for their second game of the season this Saturday, home game in Bloomington against Eastern Illinois. The game will start at 3:30 on Saturday afternoon. Matt, always interest in IU football at the start of the season, always interest to see what this team can do, what they can put together early on. And obviously Indiana got the victory over the weekend. Now they look to get another victory. This is a game, in my estimation, and you're the expert, Matt, but in my estimation, Indiana needs to not just win, but show they've fixed some things, show they've improved on some of their mistakes, show they've got maybe a better understanding on the defensive side of the ball as well. And I'm also interested just to see quarterback Penix in week two and maybe in a little bit more of a comfortable situation. What are you looking for in this game from IU football before they start Big Ten conference play?
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, the old saying always is that, you know, we usually make the most improvements from week one to week two. I mean, whether that's true or not, you know, it's, you know, remains to be seen. But I do think there is a great deal of improvement from week one to week two, just because, you know, week one, there's so many unknowns. And, you know, one of the biggest issues Indiana had defensively on Saturday against Ball State was their tackling. And it's not really an Indiana issue. That's, you know, as Coach Allen mentioned, and, you know, I watched quite a few games on Thursday and Friday and when I had a chance on Saturday night. And tackling is an issue across the board, because in the first game, you know, you tackle in fall camp, but you, as coaches, you got to play it careful because you can't tackle too much and get guys hurt. You know, you're trying to find that balance. And a lot of times you err on the side of maybe not as going as physical as you'd like. But, you know, I think it takes a game or so just for these guys to kind of get used to that part of it, the physicality of it. And I would expect the tackling to be a lot better this week. You know, one, obviously the opponent will play into that, but I think it would be better no matter who they played. So I think that will be a big improvement. And, you know, if they tackle better against Ball State, I know fans are probably a little disappointed that it wasn't more of a convincing win. But, you know, when they played them last year, it was game three. They were a little bit more kind of in the rhythm of the season. And, you know, give Ball State credit. They did some good things. And Indiana, you know, defensively, I don't think it was as bad as maybe as it looked. I think the tackling really made it look worse. And offensively,
you take away the picks, and you know, one of them really, only one of them was on Penix. You know, I thought you know, the passing game was good. They got to run the ball better, but Ball State, you know, really made that their goal to kind of take that away from Indiana. So they went with the passing game, and then special teams I thought played really well. I mean, obviously Logan Justice was fantastic, but you know, Hayden Whitehead, you know, wasn't really talked about, but he punted the ball terrific. The kick return game was great. The kick coverage team was great, which was two areas they really wanted to improve on. You know, they only had to return one punt, so, you know, they didn't get to see a lot there. But I thought overall it was a solid first game. Obviously, like you said, room for improvement, but, you know, I would expect to see a lot of it this week.
Yeah, in watching the game, and there's always players out there that just the way they play and their body language on the field kind of gets you excited as a fan, whether you're at the game or watching at home. And Peyton Hendershot did that for me on Saturday. The young man just the way he goes about the game, the way he seems to really enjoy and love playing this game, I think certainly a very positive for IU football.
Yeah, and Peyton Anderson is probably not a guy that maybe I or other people have talked about enough. I mean, this is a really athletic kid. I mean, redshirt sophomore. I mean, if you ever go to YouTube and look up his basketball highlights, he played basketball and football in high school. There's, you know, video of him going down the baseline and dunking on guys. I mean, this is an athletic guy, and obviously he's got the size at 6'4" or so and 250 so pounds. You know, good hands, and then you saw that. I mean, you know, that one catch where he got just absolutely leveled, and it stung a bit. You could tell he got up and went straight to the bench and got checked out, but was back in there. But that shows you his toughness. And the tight end is going to be a big part of this offense. And Peyton Hendershot's kind of a chance to catch a lot of balls this year, you know, with Kalen DeBoer calling plays, because they like to use that. And it's nice to see them use those seam routes and use that across the middle. It's great to go down the sidelines, but you still got to use the middle of the field, you know, soften up a defense, and they did that, you know, with Peyton on Saturday, and I would expect that to be the case going forward. And you know, I agree with you. He I loved his body language. I loved the way he played, and hopefully he can stay healthy and have a big year.
Matt Weaver, Pigs.com, joining us. We're talking IU football, Hoosiers and Eastern Illinois on Saturday. We'll have the broadcast right here on the Big X Sports Radio. Obviously, Matt, we have lots of talk about the quarterback each year, Michael Penix. There's some excitement there, and I want to talk some about him. But as we head into week two for this team, maybe some unsung, I don't want to say heroes at this point, but some unsung players and unsung positions that you, as somebody who has tracked this team very closely in the offseason and through fall camp, expect to have good years and are really going to need to have good years for Indiana to get to a bowl game, to take that next step as far as victories go in the win column. Players that we maybe don't talk about when you join us on the program that aren't in the prime time type positions, I guess is what I'm getting at.
Well, I mean, I think we kind of mentioned one in Peyton Hendershot. I mean, I think the tight end position, you know, we know what they have at receiver, know that what Indiana has at running back. You know, but tight end is a spot where, you know, he did catch a lot of balls last year and he played a lot, but the tight end just wasn't featured as prominently as I expected to be this year. So I think he's going to be a guy that maybe a lot of people aren't talking about because he's not Nick Westbrook or Donovan Hale or Watt Fillior or Stevie Scott or so on and so on. But he's a guy that's going to be a really important part of this team, and it's going to be, you know, open up that middle of the field, like I said, is a big deal. You know, defensively, you know, I think a guy like Micah McFadden, he started at middle linebacker. Now, Micah had a missed tackle that turned into a big play for Ball State on that little, you know, pass over the middle, and he missed a tackle, and the guy went, I think, 40 or 45 yards. You know, obviously, that's not one of his best moments. Micah's a heck of a football player, and he gives you really good versatility. I mean, Cam Jones got banged up against Ball State. His status, and he's the backup stinger linebacker to Raekwon Jones. Cam Jones' status for this week is up in the air. I mean, I won't be surprised if he doesn't play, especially with the opponent, and you got Ohio State coming up, you try to like to maybe get him healthy for that game. But Micah can slide out there and play stinger linebacker for you. He started middle linebacker, he can play both. And he's one of those guys that maybe a lot of people don't talk about, but he's a valuable player because of that versatility. He's athletic, he can run well, you know, comes from playing high school, which is obviously, and he has a good success rate recruiting down there. It's a big-time football program. So I think a guy like that is kind of a guy that maybe people don't talk about, and he may not put up a bunch of stats, but he's going to be an important part of this team, and kind of an under-the-radar defensive player that, you know, I think is going to be somebody that needs to play well week in and week out for them to be pretty good.
Matt Weaver, Pigs.com, IU football. Final question for you, Matt. Tell us a little bit more about this Eastern Illinois team. What type of level of competitiveness what do you expect them to bring to Bloomington this weekend, maybe in comparison to Ball State that Indiana defeated last weekend?
Well, I mean, I think it'll be a step below the Ball State. I mean, they got a new coach, and Adam Cushing, he was an assistant at Northwestern, and obviously that's a great program, and, you know, learned under a great head coach and Pat Fitzgerald. And, Eastern Illinois is not what they were back, so many years ago when Dino Babers was there, and they were really rocking and rolling and had Jimmy Garoppolo and, you know, were putting up all kinds of stats and everything. I mean, they've kind of fallen a little bit. That's why, obviously, you know, a lot of times you have a coaching change. That's why. They lost last week, I think it was Chattanooga, 24-10. They're picked to finish towards the bottom of their conference. I mean, this is a game, you know, you don't want to, but this is a game where Indiana, like you said, needs to win convincing, needs to get up. And this is a game where, you know, to me, the main goals are try to get some guys playing time that maybe won't get as much playing time, some third stringers, some young guys, and come out of it healthy. Don't get anybody hurt, that obviously you're going to need for the rest of the season. It'll be interesting to me to see how much they play Michael Penix if they get up big. You know, he could use those reps, but then again, you don't want to risk him to injury if you don't have to. So when do they pull him if they are up big and they have a comfortable lead? That'll be something I'll be watching for. But, you know, this is a game that Indiana, quite honestly, needs to win, and they need to win going away.
Matt Weaver, Pigs.com. You can follow Matt at MB_Weaver on Twitter. And, of course, read all of his coverage of IU football on the Pigs.com website. Matt, always great to catch up. We'll talk with you again next week.
Okay, thanks, guys. Take care.
All right, Matt Weaver, Pigs.com. Lee, let's close with a couple thoughts on week 3 of high school football. New Albany and Jeff is our game of the week. We'll have full coverage of that game as well as Charlestown and, Silver Creek and Providence, and we'll be checking in on Charlestown, Clarksville, and all the games in the area with our Southern Indiana Friday night football coverage. That said, your thoughts on New Albany and Jeff, I think there's a lot of similarities in the two teams so far. New Albany got a win against a lackluster Evansville-Harrison team. You were there last week when they were defeated fairly handily by Castle. Meanwhile, Jeffersonville has competed but not been able to get a win. Two teams early on still trying to find their ways. New Albany very young, Jeffersonville with a new head coach. Lots of movement right now in both of those programs.
Yeah, and I think this is a big game for both teams. It's an opportunity for either one of them to pick up the victory. And I think for both of these teams, that those may be hard to come by this season. New Albany is so young, talented and athletic, but so young. Jeffersonville, young, new coaching staff. So both of them need a win. There are some other games on the schedule. Clarksville, Charlestown. Clarksville 1-1, Charlestown 0-2. Normally, that's not what we've seen the last 5 or 6 years record-wise when this game came about. But could be a good ball game. Hope it does. And Silver Creek at Providence, that's a good one. Silver Creek, relatively new to high school football, but a great rivalry in other sports. Football just added to that rivalry. Should be a good one.
Absolutely. Looking forward to week 3. We'll be here Friday night at 6 o'clock with the kickoff show. We'll have roving coverage and updated scoreboards starting at 7 o'clock. Again, New Albany, Jeff, and Silver Creek Providence will be our two feature games Friday night with call-in reports from other games in the area. And then, of course, the Southern Indiana Scoreboard Show. When everything is said and done for the night, we'll talk with winning coaches. We'll talk with media members. We'll give you all the scores from across the area. A full 5-plus hours coming your way of Friday night coverage here on the Big X Sports Radio. That's going to wrap things up for this Thursday program. Don't forget to check us out as a podcast. I really appreciate all the new listeners we've had coming in from podcasting on SoundCloud at soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report, and on Apple Podcasts as well. Just search the Hoosier Report, and if you would, be so kind to leave us a rating and a review. That'll help us reach others that might be interested in a radio show and a podcast about IU basketball, IU sports, and things here in Southern Indiana. Have a great Thursday. I'll be back with you for our Friday coverage coming your way right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.